Thank you for having me. So, as mentioned, my name is Jill Machenbacher, and I just want to start off with kind of a scenario in this example. How would you feel if about 25 to 30% of your completed research disappeared today? This can be anything from field samples to lab data collected to the manuscripts you worked on. That's a large percentage, and even 25 to 30% of your paycheck. Well, this is what's happening in Uganda. Due to poor post-harvest handling and the poor storage of maize, the grain losses are averaging around 25 to 30% for the maize crop. And in addition to this, the annual consumption of maize is increasing. And of course, everybody knows about our annual population growth. In Uganda, it's 3.4%, and this is really high. They're the ninth fastest growing population in the world. In a little bit of comparison, in the United States, our population growth is 0.8%, and average around the world is 1.1%. So that means that currently there's 35.9 million people in Uganda. If that 3.4% rate stays the same in 1950, which is only 36 years from now, it will have the population will be about 120 million people. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the program I'm involved with, which is the Farmer to Farmer program. And then I'll go over a little bit about the Uganda maize post-harvest practices. A little bit about my assignment details, the current situation of maize production, post-harvest practices, and the training and support that was provided, some specific details of the results, and a few closing remarks. So the Farmer to Farmer program is part of the USAID's Feed the Future initiative. It has been in place for 28 years in East Africa, in the countries of Ethiopia, or currently it's in the countries of Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. It's currently ran by the Catholic Relief Services, which, even though that's a faith organization, they do not discriminate based on faith, and actually they promote not expressing any faith-based opinions. So the program focuses on recruiting U.S. volunteers with agricultural expertise in order to go over and share the skills and knowledge that they have with the local farmers. And so far to date, there's been over 19,000 people reached from this program. So the objectives of the Farmer to Farmer program is basic, pretty basic. It's to develop the agricultural infrastructure, strengthen the agriculture value chains and resource access, provide training and increase the technical knowledge. And a big part of this is to try to target the women. Usually I like to keep around 50% of women, especially the women farmers, involved in these programs and training. And of course, the overall goal is to increase self-sufficiency and improve the food security. So the assignment details about my assignment, it was in the Iganga district in Uganda, which is about 105,000 hectares. And this district is the largest maize-producing district in the country. And the goal was to essentially provide a roadmap for Iganga to address the post-harvest losses through hands-on training, and also help to establish the co-op, which is in the really initial stages of being developed. And so the host organization and the co-op that I was helping to establish and get their feet on the ground is a Nambugabe area cooperative. And this co-op currently has just over 630 members of the smallholder farmers around the district. And these are divided into seven rural producer organizations, which is really close to their farms, and then they do training and they travel around to the seven organizations. And this particular trip was 3 weeks, and it was in May 2014. Although we do keep in contact, and I still rely, or they still rely, on information via email. So the current situation in the Uganda district is that of all the land area in the district, 40% of that land is covered in maize production, and the rest is used for, of course, home settlement and whatnot. And of the 40%, 30% of that is in continuous maize, and the other 10% of the land area is rotated with groundnuts, beans, and potatoes. And this is solely produced on smallholder farms. There are no large-scale farms in this area. So as mentioned, they're currently losing around 25% of the maize grain harvested. And this is due to physical damage, insects, rodents, and farm animals, and mold and fungus from improper practices. So just a little bit about the production practices that are used in the area. It's very basic. Their field preparation, planting, weeding, and harvesting is all done by manual labor using a hoe and a machete for cutting. And the transportation primarily is carried by bundles on top of their head or by bicycle. Sometimes they use a little bit, some carts. And another issue in the area is that the maize cobs are usually harvested prematurely, just due to the lack of knowledge about the maturity indices. And they're usually the maize is stacked in the field to dry prior to transport from the field, since they have to carry everything out themselves. It is heavier, so they want to reduce the water content. So high moisture content, so it's very laborious to move. And then this being sit in the, or sat in the field, of course, makes the grain become susceptible to losses from insects, infestation, small animals, and mold. And then once the grains is removed from the field, dehusked and dried, a majority of the time it's placed on bare soil to dry. Sometimes mats and rooftops, rocks and roadsides are used. But a majority of the people do place it on the bare soil. And then the grain is removed by shelling. And the way they either rub the two cobs together to knock the grain off, or they put the cobs in a sack and then hit it with sticks. So of course this causes breakage in the grain, reduces the seed viability, and lowers the grain quality, in addition to reducing the income potential from the lower quality grain. And then the grain is stored in the open weave grain bags. And usually this is against the floor or against the walls. And because of the high moisture content in the air, and of course it's a very rainy because it's right there near the equator, as you can see, the picture on the right is a place that I was doing training in. And you have the bags stored in the ground. And actually, during that time, the chickens were coming in and pecking at the bag, so then it pecked a hole in it, and so that was losing some of the grain due to the chickens. So, as mentioned, susceptible to damage from moisture, mold, rodents, insects, and chickens. So, the training and support that I went over to provide was proper post-harvest handling. And some of this training was on the maturity indices, the grain quality, the drying methods that would be sanitary, proper storage, and a little bit of information about pest control. And then also going to kind of provide a basic understanding of the grain quality and the losses due from insects and molds. And then some on the soil health, and what we refer to there with the training was soil bugs. So the microbes, as far as not putting the bare grain on the ground. So, and then there were some simple, I recommended some simple cost-effective storage methods, which there's a whole list, but we can talk about during the questions. And then I also emphasize the relationships between the grain quality and the food quality, and the grain quality and the market value. So I really kind of try to emphasize the income potential due to providing good quality grain. And then, of course, the moisture, the soil bugs, and the spoiled grain. And then as an additional project, because soil science is my area, I provided some soil quality training about crop residues, or, of course, as we were talking about, a soil organic matter. So in total, I provided training for 156 smallholder farmers. And these are just some of the classes that I held. I held about 18 classes over this period. And then I held some little more intense training for the co-op management personnel, or they just are establishing their management potential, because, as I mentioned, the co-op just got started. So they're trying, they don't have a building yet. They're just trying to organize right now. And then also provided a step-by-step model to improve the post-harvest practices through training and demonstration. I left some training materials there that hopefully they can carry out the process after I was gone. And then the development of the co-op. I did write a plan up to kind of the steps to trying to organize people and trying to just kind of establish the co-op and hopefully find a centralized location, especially for grain storage. And then plans for the future as funding becomes available. Everybody knows funding is always limited. It's always a big issue. So a step-by-step plan as far as phases that can develop as the funding becomes available, with the first phase being projects that the farmers can do that do not cost any money. And then promoted involvement. Part of one of the things that we do in the farmer-to-farmer program is try to get the local officials involved. So meeting with the Ugandan Ministry of Agriculture to try to promote their involvement and to try to get their support. And also with the regional politicians, so the regional district commander, which, forgive me if I don't say his name because I'll say it wrong, and then the deputy of Iganga. So the progress today is that the training is still continuing. We still have in contact, and hopefully some funds will become available that we can initiate the phase two of the project. And of course, just to remind, improving post-harvest practices will improve nutrition, household income, and the overall quality of life. The 25 to 30% of loss every harvest due to the loss of grain is, of course, obviously a huge impact. And it's been said that that's one of the greatest ways to improve the amount of food that's being produced, is to reduce the losses. And just a reminder, this might seem like a small action, but small actions always lead to big results over time. And the goal of the program, and this is why I took particular interest, is because the goal is to help others thrive, not just survive, not have to rely on foreign aid or just get by in life. These people, they're really hardworking people, and they have great attitudes, and they should be able to not only survive and feed themselves, but they should be able to improve their lives every generation. So if I do have some brochures up here, if you're interested, as far as getting involved, they are recruiting people with skills in field crop production, horticulture, agribusiness, and livestock production. So you can get involved by simply filling out an application at the Farmer to Farmer website, contacting my handlers, Maria or Bruce, or you can email me and I'll put you in contact with the right people. They pay all your expenses. You just have to volunteer your time. It's a really great experience. And with that, I would like to thank the Namugawi Area Co-op for sponsoring me, Catholic Relief Services, which are the managers of the Farmer to Farmer program, and USAID for providing the the income.
Thank you.